Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, since I did not warn you about this, if I were to give you a test today, it would have to be called the pop quiz, as they did in school back in those days when I learned to dread such things. The pop quiz, of course, would be, so what did we talk about last week? And last week was the beginning of the Gospel of Mark. It actually said that, the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, as we know it's told by Mark, and in that, we talked about the importance of repentance, a change of mind, a new attitude, a way of looking at things in a different way, things that provide for us an opportunity for real change. It's not enough. There are those who are very good at identifying the places that they need a change or some help or some kind of renewal in their life, and they do it over and over and over and over and over again and never quite seem to get to where they want to be. I'm sorry to say that sometimes I see this even in myself. Oh, it's easy to identify those and places that need change, but to tell you the truth, I need more than that. But the good news is that that's the point. They came to John, this one who is out in the wilderness and baptizing for a baptism of repentance, and instantly people knew that something was going on, and lots of people were going out there to find out what was taking place out in the wilderness, where they would never expect anything quite like this. Now, of course, there's always some sort of strange in person who manages to find a home, but this was a little different. All kinds of people from Jerusalem and the surrounding area were going out to listen to John. Now the bigwigs are coming out there, those who have been sent says the Pharisees, and sent them out, the priests and Levites from Jerusalem, organize a task force to go out and find out who is this John and what is he all about. They get out there and they ask him the big questions. Are you the Messiah, the one that we have been waiting for so long? No, I'm not the Messiah. Well, could you be Elijah, the one who according to the Bible, did not die but was taken up into heaven in a chariot of fire? Perhaps that chariot has returned and you're him. Are you Elijah? No, I'm not. Well, could you at least be one of the prophets, those who are in the tradition? And it's interesting that he says, no, I'm not even one of the prophets. So they begin to ask, well, what do you say about yourself then? He simply says, I'm a voice crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. That's not going to cut it. What we need is something more, but John is more than happy to point to something more than himself. He knows where the answer is, and he's more than happy to point that out. I only baptize you in water, but one is coming after me who will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are some, I'm sure, who get a little nervous at such talk, and perhaps for good reason. But let's just say that God works in the hearts of all kinds of different people in all kinds of different ways. God's Spirit does such things. It blows where it wants to. It does what it wants to, always to bring us into a deeper relationship with God. And Jesus Christ is exactly the one whose work and whose life and mission is to connect us in such a way that God gets a hold of us and will not let go. I only baptize you in water, but one comes after me. Now, of course, we know the answer to this. We know who the one is. It's as clear as can be. We celebrate his birth at this time of year. We go on to enjoy through the rest of the church year his life and ministry, and we indeed are called by his name. Every time that the name Christian is used, it's him. Jesus the Christ. And we proudly bear that name. But when we do so, we also become examples, as it were, the proof that John was absolutely right, that we too have been claimed by this strange thing, the Holy Spirit in all of its and different and sundry ways, in such a way that we too are involved in the work of God. Isaiah said it. He begins there. And this is the text, of course, that Jesus preached in his own synagogue. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he begins. Because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint in spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display his glory. Jesus takes this ministry on, and every time that in his name similar things are done. Whenever a word is spoken of comfort, or gifts are offered that meet some particular need, every time that someone clings to hope instead of doubt, this too is the Spirit of God at work. And a reminder that God has more to do in our lives. Advent is a time of waiting and preparation, as indeed it should be, and there's lots to do. I'm more than happy to remind you that you only have 10 more shopping days left. It's amazing the amount of stuff that you can order with an hour in session and sitting in front of the computer. If you feel that that's a part of your preparation, go for it, but you'll have to pay the price when the bills come. You know how that works. But our preparation is for something more than that. Our preparation is to prepare our hearts as Jesus comes again to us over and over in word and in sacrament and in these times of gathering together to worship God, to learn the word that has been given to us. In all of these things, we wait and we prepare ourselves that this one who comes to baptize us also comes to give us the promise of the Spirit. Amen.